We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hi, back here on OMF, final hour of the program. We go, as you know, 30 minutes commercial free on the final segment. Joining us live right now on the phone line is Red Sox President Sam Kennedy. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Glenn, Lou, Christian, how are you guys?
Good, Sam. Sam. We appreciate you joining us. We would love to have talked to John Henry, but we're happy to talk with you as well. And I'm a little dismayed, and I know a lot of other people are. I understand you move on from employees, stuff changes, personnel changes. But I think we're all a little bit shocked there was no press conference and the way it was done. Do you have a reason on why it really happened the way it happened?
I do, yeah, for sure. And understand frustration or dismay, as you put it. First of all, I want to address the timing of everything. And what's really important is that, out of respect to Dave and what he accomplished here, we wanted to delay our final decision to part ways as soon as that decision had been made final, which was over the weekend, and it happened to be on Sunday. There's never a good time to do these things, but in the interest of transparency and being direct, we wanted to relay that news to him. We had planned to announce it on Monday, and it obviously broke Sunday night, and regret that Alex Cora was put in a very difficult position, as he's got to do his pregame, postgame press conferences every game. So that was unfortunate. But what really was important to us was to make sure that we were direct and honest with Dave once we had come to a final decision, which occurred over the weekend. And then, as it relates to the issue of a press conference, we just knew that it would have been a wholly sort of unsatisfactory experience, given that, you know, we're just not going to expand upon the statements that we provided yesterday. And I understand the desire for one and the frustration related to not having one. But given that we're not going to expand upon what we said in our press statement, it just would have it wouldn't have been satisfactory to anyone. So instead, we spent the day yesterday focusing entirely on internal communication. John Henry, Tom Werner, myself spent the day meeting with players, everyone in the clubhouse, the staff, the baseball operations department, and our larger front office, and we go on from there. It was a difficult 48 hours, but we're moving forward.
You know, Sam, when you say that you wouldn't have been able to get anything out of it, right, or anything, whatever, positive, but is that something new? Because, I mean, if you could say this about firing a manager, firing a general manager, just release statements, never address the media, and have the media just ask questions. It just seemed to me like it was just protocol. This is what everybody does.
Yeah, well, I think it does often happen. I've observed press conferences with sports figures leaving organizations for a long, long time, and they really, I'm not sure what purpose they ultimately serve other than, as you said, protocol. And so we decided that, given we weren't going to expand on what we said via our press release that went out early on Monday, that we would instead focus on the task ahead and mainly being accountable to our employees and our people within the organization. But we certainly had interaction with the media all day yesterday. We were all in the ballpark late Sunday night, all day Monday, and it just we just didn't have a formal media availability or press conference in the as you've outlined.
But instead, you know, Alex Cora is yesterday pregame like 22-minute press conference, and he's being asked questions that it seemed like the ownership group should have answered. Like, what are you looking for in the next GM? I mean, he's the manager, and you almost put him in a bad spot to to do exactly what you were talking about that you guys could have done the day before.
Yeah, there's no question. Alex was in a bad spot, and we definitely regret that. And you know, I said that at the outset. The nature of baseball, he's required to do those two availabilities pre and post game. So regret that. But now I'm obviously available to speak to you guys and answer any questions that you have as we go forward.
You know what, Sam, you know, we love you, right? Obviously, you know, we're big Sam Kennedy fans.
But he's not the program director.
No, he isn't. Oh, okay, well, all right, good.
I know you're sucking up to him because you think he's going to help you. He's not going to help you.
Okay. No, but, you know, Glenn kind of mentioned, and so did Lou, and I think of all these other sports, you know, the ownership, you know, always takes an aggressive approach as far as explaining things. And if John Henry wasn't available to speak, at least in the last couple of days since it happened, do you foresee him commenting about it in the future, in the next couple of days or so, taking questions or at least addressing it?
You know, I think John and Tom will address it in their own way and in time. But as it relates to a formal press conference, no, I don't. I think we will refer to the statements that we put out as it relates to Dave and thanking him and moving on. I know, again, that can be unsatisfactory, but that's the position that we're taking and we're moving forward. And look, John Henry, Tom Werner, their track record in this town is remarkable. We've been here for 18 years, and these guys have been running this team with great success. We've had some down years, of course. We've had some difficult moments, but as a kid who grew up in Boston and as a huge Red Sox fan, and now as president and CEO of the team, I can tell you no one cares more about winning championships. We've won four, and we're hungry for more. And these are some of the best owners, not just in baseball, but in professional sports. So these guys are committed, and they run a great organization. And it's difficult to part with executives and people, but John and Tom have been accountable since they got here, and that won't change. They've really done everything in their power to win and do everything possible with Fenway. It's been an incredible era in Red Sox.
Right, Sam,
do you understand why people would sit there and say, well, this is an example of them not being accountable?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Of course I can understand that. I just explained the reasoning behind not holding a press conference, because there would be a lot of questions about why or how, and we're just not going to get into that.
So you're not going to do press conferences anymore, Sam, when decisions are made over there on personnel? Is that what we're saying, or is this a unique situation?
You know, we'll evaluate each situation on a case-by-case basis as we go forward. And it's just we have had change from, you know, Theo and Tito and Ben Charrington, Larry Lucchino, Bobby Valentine. I've been here the whole time.
Always press conferences, though.
Yeah, we and I'm not sure how great those farewell press conferences have gone, because out of respect to the people that are moving on, you're just not going to get into a lot of detail. So that's why we made the decision that we made.
Well, let me get back to John Henry. Everything you just said about the owner group, I would agree with you. They've been extremely successful, and they obviously know what they're doing. I am a little bit surprised over the last few years that John Henry has gone fairly silent in the background. Tom Werner has become a little bit more visible and more talkative in these situations. Can you explain to me why this has happened? And you know, we've requested many times to try to get John on the program. We're not alone. All over the city, people would like to hear from him. For some reason, he has taken a tactic now where he wants to go quiet. And I agree with what Lou was saying earlier in the program. He's not getting the profile and the love out there that a Robert Kraft gets, yet he's been really successful here. And I think a big part of it is people don't know him anymore, Sam. He has gone underground.
Yeah, well, I disagree with that, given I work so closely with him, and he's an incredibly hands-on owner.
Yeah, but he doesn't talk to the public. He doesn't talk to the public at all.
Well, he talks to the public, and he's at every single baseball game, and he interacts with fans, and so you know he.
But you know what I mean. He's not talking to the media. He's not addressing various aspects of the team. He very rarely does that. You get him for a couple of minutes in spring training, and that's about it.
Yeah, well, you know, he has a lot of things on his plate and chooses when he wants to do media. That's his call. And, you know, all I can tell you is that he is hands-on, incredibly involved with every aspect of the Red Sox operation. He and Tom, it's funny, people ask, you know, who's in charge of the Red Sox? People have been asking me that for 18 years, especially people in the media. My answer to that has not changed. John Henry and Tom Werner run the Red Sox. They provide the vision for the club, the budget for the club. They're responsible for assembling the talent to execute their vision, and they've entrusted me as CEO and our incredible management team of people with running the day-to-day and speaking to the media is part of that day-to-day obligation. It's something I do with great regularity and frequency. It's something that Alex Cora does, something that your head of baseball operations does. So that's part of our role, and ownership can picks and chooses when they want to engage with the media, and that's how we've operated for a long, long time, and it's worked well in terms of their track record.
Sam, you know, I was saying earlier that, you know, I don't know if Dave had a couple years left in his deal. I don't know if we're having this discussion now, but I heard Alex Cora talking about vision, talking about direction, and I guess the question I have for you is, whatever the vision, whatever the direction is of this organization, why wasn't Dave Dombrowski the guy moving forward?
Yeah, look, again, I'm not, Lou, not going to engage on specifics related to Dave other than to say the guy did an incredible job here. We won a world championship, a couple division championships on a personal level. I enjoyed working with him. But obviously you don't make a change unless you're ready for new leadership in that specific department. So again, we're moving forward. We're going to have new leadership right now. We have our senior management group in that department. Eddie Romero, Brian O'Halloran, Raquel Ferreira, Zach Scott. They're working closely with me and ultimately John and Tom through this transition. And we'll continue to do the things that have put us in a position to win championships.
Well, you've obviously got a very important offseason, right? It's a couple big decisions to make. So what exactly is the vision? What exactly is the direction of this organization?
Well, it's really important that our fans understand that the vision remains fielding a team that can have success in October. We've, since 2002, we've put a huge emphasis on scouting, player development, signings in the international markets, analytics, and really players and front office executives that can operate successfully in Boston. It's a really, really tough job, but that's the vision. The vision is to continue to win championships and to make sure we're doing it at every level of the organization from rookie ball on up.
Okay, so you're talking about changing of leadership. So what about Alex Cora? Is his job safe?
Yes, Alex Cora, John Henry and Tom Werner and I spent a lot of time yesterday with Alex and spent some time with the players and expressed our confidence and support for Alex, the incredible job that he's done. He's just been everything you would want in a manager and can't speak more highly of Alex and the job that he's done and the job that I know he'll do as we move forward. It's no doubt it's been a difficult season for all of us, we're really confident in Alex Cora.
All right, we're talking to Sam Kennedy, the CEO of the Red Sox. So last night, David Ortiz throws out the first pitch. It was great to see him, and I expected he would have lost an awful lot of weight. Looks like he's been eating well, so all good as he shows up. But it was strange happening last night when you guys kind of let people know about 35 minutes before it happened. Now, I'm not saying this is true, but it does give the appearance to some that it was a distraction for some of this other stuff that's gone on. So maybe you can tell us why it happened last night and why it had to happen last night.
Yeah, let me address that right out. I understand the appearance or the suggestion that it may have been a distraction or an intentional act to try and distract people. I can assure you that was not the case. The reason it happened last night is because David Ortiz wanted it to happen last night. David, we had a standing invitation for him to come and throw out a first pitch, and he had made the decision a few days ago that last night would be the night. We were really glad he could be here, and it was great to see him. And you know, we understand the timing. You know, sometimes I say this a lot. Sometimes you can't make these things up, but it really was great to see him. And I hope people understand there was no intention in terms of distraction or anything like that. And it was great to see him and Tiffany, and he's doing really, really well and improving every day. He's going to be, I think, headed back down to Miami soon. It's getting cold out, so he told me he wanted to get back to where it's warm. So I guess last night was the night to get the first pitch under his belt, and then he'll go from
there. Sam, you said that 2 days ago you knew that he was going to do this. What I don't understand about this is, and I think it probably adds to the appearance that there might have been something going on behind the scenes, is that everybody found out about it 35 minutes in advance. Why wouldn't you want all of the Red Sox fans to know, if you knew 2 days before that this was happening, that, hey, David Ortiz, we've all been waiting for this moment, he's going to come out and speak to the public?
Yeah, we wanted it. He wanted it, and we wanted it to be a surprise for our fans. So we actually were not planning to announce it whenever it was going to be and have it be a surprise.
So wait a minute. He wanted it. Hold on. He requested that it be a surprise?
Yeah, we all wanted it to be a surprise. He did. We did. We weren't sure, you know, when exactly he was going to come until a couple days ago. And then he said Monday night's tonight, and we said it'll be great to surprise the fans.
You know, Sam, one of the things I kept hearing about, and I don't know who had the article, Alex Speer or not, the next GM, man or woman, I should say, you know, looking to be creative, right? I mean, we know what Dave was. He came in here as advertised, very successful, won a World Series, but he, you know, just traded away the system and went, you know, signed big-time free agents. Is it safe to say that next person rebuilding the farm system, I know you touched on it a little bit earlier, possibly making some uncomfortable moves off this roster to sort of build onto the future to make sure it's successful for the next few years?
Yeah, we've talked a lot about that on this show and others, that the sort of there's a fundamental disconnect between short term and long term, and that's the hardest part of the job. We want to try and compete and be successful year in and year out, but also keep an eye on that long term stability of the franchise. So yeah, there will be very hard decisions to be made. There always are. So yeah, I think creativity is a really important part of the job, and there'll be lots of different people that we talk to. And it'll be a rigorous process. One of the reasons why we decided to make the change once we had come to that determination was that doing it early is respectful to obviously to Dave, but also it gives the organization the ability to go out and survey the market and see who might be available. So gives us a head start on looking forward.
You know, I know you guys have had the highest payroll in baseball the last 2 years. You've spent money. John Henry has shown the, you know, the ability and just the willingness to sign these big time free agents. I'm curious, moving forward, fiscal responsibility. I don't. Do you expect this payroll to drop drastically at all in the near future?
I continue always to expect that John and Tom will give those of us in the front office the resources to be competitive. It's been a great formula for 18 years. Of course, sometimes the spending of dollars hasn't translated into wins. Some years it has, but we've been above that CBT threshold several years. We've been below it several years, so we'll continue to have the resources, thanks to the incredible support of the fan base that we have here in Boston and New England. It's not like this anywhere else in baseball.
All right, Sam, we appreciate you responding, and again, open invitation, tell John any day he wants, we would love to have him.
All right, guys, I appreciate the opportunity.
All right, Sam. See you later. You got it. Sam Kennedy, CEO of the Red Sox.
Even if you don't have the press conference and you know you're not going to say anything, I still think you have to sit there and take the questions and not say anything.
I agree.
It's just part of the deal. So, you know, we really couldn't get anything out of it. And, you know, so why have it? Because we're not going to talk about it. And people are going to ask us questions. Yeah, but we're not going to say anything. But you still kind of have to go through, you know, jump through the hoops, don't you?
So, yeah, but still gives me the feeling, the impression that it did not end well. So maybe Dave Dombrowski pushed them, and they wanted to wait a couple days, but he wanted to know right away. He wanted to push them. Maybe he got a call from another possible job, and they didn't like the way it ended. Well, so maybe they were afraid to sit down, get before the microphones, and actually address some of those questions.
I think that interview was very important, right? Because they didn't address Dave Dombrowski. So, Sam, you know, glad he came on. I'm glad he addressed it. But what did we accomplish just now? Anything?
They're still not answering.
No, I mean, but I'm just saying, like, so you could say, well, if we held a press conference, what would we have accomplished? Well, but yet, you know, he came on because I think it was important for him to come on. But in the big scheme of things, what did we accomplish just now?
Nothing.
He just at least answered the questions.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, and it was interesting when he said this, and he said that John Henry is dealing the way he wants to deal. He's actively involved, and Sam is apparently the voice up front. But I get the feeling still that there are certain things Sam can't say because John doesn't want them said, and that's the point I have. And again, I don't have an issue with John Henry. I think he's been a terrific owner here. I know some people are pissed off at him, but look at their success. Look at their record.
Well, they spend money.
Right. I was around with the ownerships before these guys came in, and I'm telling you, this is day and night. But I do not understand why he has gone into hiding and then why you would not have a press conference. Then you give the liberty for Sam Kennedy to go and answer those questions. I almost give the idea right now that Sam is saying these things, but they're not giving him the right to openly sit there and just address it. And he said it. We are not going to address those individual stories, the stuff about Dave Dombrowski.
And you know what? That's totally fine. I mean, hold the press conference. You know, the question is like, why? Like I asked, you know, why isn't he the guy moving forward? I mean, I'd be stunned if John Henry or Sam Kennedy or Tom Werner said, you know what? I don't know. There's some moves we didn't like. You know, financially, we're not in a good spot moving forward. He depleted our farm system. You know, and I know he made some good moves, but maybe we should have given up two prospects instead of four on every single trade. You know, maybe we'd still have a body or two. You know, I know a lot of the guys, I think John Tomasi, Alex Speer wrote about, you know, even the Kimbrel trade. You know, they traded away Manuel Margot, who was the 16th best prospect in baseball, along with Javi Guerra, who's another top 100 prospect. They felt, a lot of people in the industry maybe felt like that deal was good enough. But instead, Dave, you know, aggressive, wants the guy no matter what. Threw in Logan Allen for the hell of it, the lefty that's now a big league pitcher that was involved in the Trevor Bauer trade, three-way deal. Maybe you don't need to trade that guy. Maybe he's depth in the big leagues this year. So there's a lot of moves, even the Thornburg trade. You know, maybe instead of giving four, maybe you only gave up three.
That
and you kept that extra body. So,
disaster.
So there were trades that he got good players in return. The question is, did he give up too much? So I don't expect the ownership or Sam or anybody to come out and get into detail all the things they didn't like about Dave Dombrowski.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. When's the last time you've gone
to... But just address it to the fan base. This is what we're moving forward. This is the... What he just did is what I would expect at a press conference.
Correct.
And it would have been fine, and we would have spent 3 days talking about whether Dave Dombrowski deserved to get fired or not. It's opinion thrown around on radio, no big deal. Instead, the fact they didn't hold a press conference was the biggest story about this firing.
That's what I was just about to say, is that when is... When day have you been to a press conference where obviously the questions are asked when an organization just opens up and tells
they
you
don't.
Everything? Okay, we didn't like the way he signed a sale. This was ridiculous. Have you seen this guy this year?
Yeah, had to pay. We needed to punish him.
Exactly. Nobody is going to do that. What we're saying is that you should get up there representing the organization and answer those questions before the media. That's all
I don't understand why that would be any different than any other manager that was fired. When Farrell was fired, was there a press conference?
When Dave Dombrowski was hired, there was a press conference.
Yeah.
Days later, when Gerrington left the organization, there was a press conference then, too. Wasn't there, like 2 weeks later?
Right. Yeah, but Farrell won a World Series also. Doesn't he deserve the respect?
Remember Gerrington, they wanted to keep him around to work with Dave Dombrowski,
but when he left,
wanted nothing to do with it.
When he left, they held a press conference.
Yes.
They could have just said, hey, he left.
So I don't get it. And that was why I came back with the question.
Is this the new practice with the organization?
I don't know.
Right. Apparently it's not. So they're going to pick and choose. So you're going to have a press conference when it's always good news. And I'm telling you, I don't think if they get up there and simply said, some of the things that we've heard, that they want to go into a different direction. I think a lot of the baseball people would understand it. We know what Dave Dombrowski is. He deals away young players. He goes out and gets the established stars. That's how he's always done it in the past.
But to your point, though, what he just did was basically what a press conference
was
would
enough.
Sound
yeah.
like.
Was all
what happened, why,
wanted.
Avoid it, don't answer it. Hey, we just want to talk about how good he is. You know, I'm not going to get into internal affairs. You know, that's not my place. We love Dave. We won a World Series with him. We're going in a different direction. You talk about direction. You talk about vision. Okay, what's the vision? What's the vision moving forward? Okay, what is that answer? What about Alex Cora? Is he okay? Dave Dombrowski hired him. Should he be nervous?
Now, I think it's ridiculous. You know, so I heard somebody even talking baseball last night, talking about, oh, there's problems everywhere. Dombrowski's the first one to go. Alex is next, rather. And I'm like, let's pump the brakes.
Alex is not going anywhere.
I mean, slow down. It's like, in this town, if your team doesn't win a championship, you know, it's like fire everybody, time to blow it up.
Right.
This is the whole thing about, like, this roster.
What's wrong with that?
The vision's going in a new place, right? The vision is a new vision, is a new direction. To me, the vision and direction is in the minor league system. You don't rebuild when you have Devers, Bogarts, Benintendi, Vasquez, when you have Sale, when you have Price under contract, and Erod in here. Like, that doesn't happen, but you got to get creative. You know, maybe you got to trade Mookie Betts. You got to re-sign J.D. Martinez. You got to trade away Jackie Bradley. You got to find two new outfielders. You got to find a fourth starter, a good one maybe. You got to get one more arm out in that bullpen, a closer. By the way, interesting thought.
What are those guys like?
I'm just saying, you may need a second baseman, you need a first base. You got some things to get done here, but by no means are you rock bottom. Okay, you could lose one of those two guys, J.D. Martinez and Mookie Betts, and still be a top five offense in baseball.
No, but it still amazes me that they were so quiet.
I don't need a new vision.
They were so quiet.
I just need a little retooling.
They were so careful about this one because I don't think it's like the public is out there, what the bleep are you doing, firing Dave Dombrowski?
No.
I don't think that was the hue and cry out in the public. I think most people understood it, okay? Nationally, there were a couple of dings out there where people were saying, what a world, 11 months after you won a World Series, lead a team to a World Series, they fire you. I get that. And maybe they were fearful of dealing with that. But then if that were the case, they weren't reading the public correctly.
Well, I know, the no protocol thing now, the new norm. Can you imagine, let's say, 2-3 years from now, Alex Cora gets fired, and they release a statement? No press conference?
They're going to be asking a lot of questions.
When Farrell got fired, they did have a press conference. Dave Dombrowski was the guy that led the press conference.
He's the guy. Nothing got done that day either, right. But it's just something that you got to do.
You got to do. So he's the.
And he did it here, to be honest with you.
So here's the mistake they made. So in that case, when Farrell got fired, the guy above him, Dave Dombrowski, was the one who sat and did the press conference. The other night, when the general manager, president of baseball operations gets fired, the person above him should have been the one leading in the press conference. Instead, you had the guy below him and Alex Cora. What's he going to say?
Well, the Cora hiring was easy because Dave hired him. So, of course, he was going to do he was in charge. I don't know what it is. I just feel like there's something else. Maybe there was a fight. Maybe it was contentious.
Well, it probably was. But even if it's contentious, you can get out there and you kind of put the happy face.
You still don't have to say
face.
It was contentious.
No, you put the happy face on there. You thank him for what he did.
Because Dave took the high road.
And you know what? I've seen this happen before where people have got up there and somebody's got fired and they say, well, how did he handle it? Well, as you can well imagine, guy get let go here. He loved it. He did a terrific job here. And so maybe he's not that happy about it. What's wrong with saying that?
Dombrowski
we get to the point now where you just don't say anything. I mean,
this is the first. And I keep going back to what Lou said. You're the Boston freaking Red Sox. There should be nothing, no situation that is awkward or uncomfortable for you. You've seen it all. You've been through it all. This is not the most weirdest, awkward thing that the Red Sox have had to deal with. There's been plenty before that. So there's something between the two. Who the hell knows?
Here's the other one that surprised me with the David Ortiz thing, that the fact that they knew 2 days in advance. Now, maybe there's more to it. Maybe they were fearful that David couldn't do it or at the last second was going to back down. Maybe he was a little skittish about it. I don't know. He obviously didn't say any of that stuff. But if they knew 2 days in advance, and he said we wanted it, and he wanted it to be a surprise. I think that is something that you get out to every Red Sox fan, don't you? And let them know, hey, David Ortiz is coming back. I would want to see it. even though there may be people that aren't watching a lot of Red Sox games these days, sorry, maybe you do tune in that time, right?
It should have been a next Thursday.
That would be a good promotion.
Well, not even that, but I know it was the Yankees, you know, but it doesn't have the same buzz, you know, that does given the state of your team right now. But how many people you think on Monday morning gave those seats away Monday night against the New York Yankees and said to themselves, well, Jesus, if I knew David Ortiz was going to be there,
yeah,
I wouldn't have given my seats away. Oh, you know what? I would have went. I wouldn't have left them empty.
Trap.
So that,
right?
But that even leaves more to believe that maybe there was something behind it. And I'm not, again, it's the appearance. We don't know. I've got no information that any of that happened.
Two days earlier, it's like a Saturday. It's before the actual firing. It's just, okay, now you go to David Ortiz. You know, I don't know. When did you find out, right? I mean, that's obvious. Someone's out there talking to David. When did you find out you're going to throw out the first pitch? If he says at 3:30 Monday afternoon, then we got a problem.
Unbelievable. All right, we'll get to the phone calls coming up next. 617-779-7937. We're talking about this. We're talking about Antonio Brown. And if you missed it, Demaryius Thomas gone. Guess where he went? Coming up next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
He's going to not behave. I don't trust him. I believe at some point in time, Antonio Brown will be Antonio Brown, and Coach Belichick is going to have to send him on his way. Mm-hmm. That's just who he is. I do not trust him. And if someone says, okay, Shannon, you got to take your money and you got to bet he's going to behave, mm-hmm, or he's going to not behave and he'll be moving along. If I got to bet my money, I'm going to bet that he will misbehave, mm-hmm, because he's going to get upset that he's not getting enough targets. And everybody's like, well, he has a chance to win a ring. He didn't think he had a chance to win a ring in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Get as many chances they'll give you. I got no problem with him getting a second chance. But the way he behaved in order to do this, I'm done with this situation. Mm. But to answer your question, Skip, I believe that at some point in time, they're going to be worse off and say, this was a bad decision for us, and we're going to move on.
So it's Shannon Sharp. And
can you explain to me what behave means in that locker room today, right now, as we sit, as
he's
we
gonna,
speak?
He's going to conform.
Behaving, what does that mean?
He's going to conform. He's not going to be a bubblehead on social media. You're not going to hear an awful lot. He's going to be really productive on the football field.
He's capable of all that stuff.
Of course he's capable of it, but is he going to... Would you bet your house on this?
Okay, listen, I wouldn't bet my house on anything. I bet my house that you would interrupt me.
Yes. How much is your watch worth? I have to interrupt you because you're going off on some tangent.
Please, look who's talking. You just asked the longest question in the history of WEI.
I got to get something
48 out of 48 seconds, by the
48
way.
48 seconds.
Did I get something out of the guy? Yes. Thank you very much. Thank you. Save your ass again.
Please. I just don't. I feel like they're just hysterical. Okay, so, if he behaves, okay, what does behave mean? So behave to me.
Have you watched this guy over the last 8 years? Because you're acting like you've never seen this guy before.
I have been watching it. I've seen all these other knuckleheads that have been on this roster who had issues on other teams
and who couldn't behave.
And who couldn't behave. Martellus Bennett, he can't behave. He works himself and shoots himself out of every single team he plays
with. That's a good one.
Tim Tebow, God Squad, and media comes with him.
Don't bring Tim Tebow.
God Squad. The Jets didn't happen here. You didn't even know he's on the team. My point is, behaving to me is this.
Hold on for a second. Tim Tebow. I want to bring Tim Tebow.
Bring him up.
That's stupid. Okay.
Why?
Stupid. Backup quarterback.
But what did he bring with him? Baggage, distraction, media.
What distraction? He would sit and pray. Tim Tebow was not going to come to the New England Patriots and get before the microphones and say something stupid.
Was that a polarizing figure?
Yes,
when he played for the Broncos and he went to the Jets and he's running through the rain with that. And he has a press conference.
But he's not coming to the New England Patriots going on Facebook Live doing taking a phone into the locker room.
There were issues.
That's
there
ridiculous.
Were discussions about signing him. Okay, you want to call it? You keep acting like they're different. Like one guy's
different
than the next. No, they all have baggage. They all have issues.
And Tim Tebow can't play.
You're so narrow-minded that you cannot see the difference.
Right?
You want to separate them.
You think Tim Tebow is a good Martellus Bennett? I'll do what you do.
You're missing the point.
Okay, thank you.
You're missing the point.
Good.
How many times I have to explain it to you. Get back to my original point.
Go ahead.
The behave part. Okay, when you ask me, behave. Shannon Sharpe says as long as he behaves. Okay, you say conform. Whatever. Behaving to me is, it doesn't mean he loses his personality.
Right.
But he was just with Tom Brady last night. They were taking pictures. They were posting it.
Right.
Okay, I just saw somebody else.
I saw them hugging on the sidewalk.
Yeah, that little baby picture.
Oh, that was a cartoon.
Somebody else took a video of him
and
tweeted it out.
And he was on
Instagram. So behaving is not sitting there and like acting like you've been lobotomized.
Yeah, wait for the first 4 or 5
behaving
weeks. He's going to be in his best behavior.
Behaving is having respect for the organization, the process, how they go about everybody else's personal space that goes through playing the radio, going in the weight room.
You have no doubt.
Who gets on the bus first?
I would say this.
Who gets in line first? Behaving is just being a professional.
Behaving is, to me, it's Bill Belichick. Don't disrespect me. Don't disrespect my team.
Do you think he can behave or not? If that's your definition of it,
yes.
Oh my God! Wow, that was a quick, little, direct, easy answer. Mr. Fence guy?
Can he? Yes, he can.
Yes,
he can.
Will he?
I'm not sure he will.
See, you won't answer that one. Can? Of course.
Because I don't know. Unlike you, I can't.
Do you have any opinion at all?
I don't have a vision of the future. Okay, I can't see
the
future.
I just want you,
but you're not.
You're
let me
betting
ask you,
on. You could never.
So let me ask you a question.
I would never give my money to you.
Are you not?
I don't know. I think you could make some money.
Do you
you're
not?
Basing it on
you could buy.
Past,
you could.
You
sell.
Might lose some.
Christian,
you
can not
lose it. Yes, but
you're being ridiculous
no,
if you
not.
Think you can predict the future. But you tell me.
No,
are you?
What you think.
Do you feel confident that he is going to do that?
Approach it.
Do you think?
Yes,
you do.
Yes,
I don't.
Confident.
I don't. I'm not confident.
Here's this is why it's crazy.
I love the fact that he's here, but I'm not confident.
You have so much proof of past history, of hardcore stats and information of past players who have been in the exact same situation, and it works. Well, don't you compare him to Randy Moss? I am comparing him to Randy Moss. I am also going to compare
Teddy
him to Malcolm Floyd.
Teddy was the one
I know,
said that.
And we'll talk
so
to Teddy tomorrow.
So go with Teddy tomorrow.
We'll
why don't you go
Teddy
with him?
Tomorrow.
You don't have the balls to go with Teddy. You sit there. You'll go at me. You won't go at Teddy.
When
will
he
go
with
Teddy tomorrow?
When he's under attack.
I'll bet my house he doesn't go with Teddy tomorrow.
I would say that things have to go drastically wrong early, because I think there'll be that period of,
they won't go early.
Well,
though.
I'm just saying,
you'll
let's
be
just
good
say
early.
Game one, game two, the targets aren't there, and it's, hey, stay with us. Stay with us. Okay. And then maybe by week 9, could you have a problem then? We'll see. Well, when you get to the postseason, I think then it's like, all right, we're going to go into postseason. It's time to go. I don't think you'll be disrespectful to Bill Belichick here in year one, which is all it's going to be. So, I think it's going to work. I understand that there's some questions about targets and making sure he gets his, but I think for 1 year, I don't see him coming in here and disrespecting Bill Belichick year one.
I don't know why anyone can't look at
a private conversation on Facebook.
Do you actually think that he's going to sit there with his phone? And it's insanity. It's not going to happen, and he's happy. It'll last a year. After this year, I will say I'm not buying any more Antonio Brown stock.
No, I don't
because it'll peak at the Super Bowl.
Right.
and then that'll be it. And then I'm out. I'm selling right before the Super Bowl.
You're right. And that's a smart thing to do, by the way. But I think getting to the Super Bowl is still an issue. I think the first few weeks, people will come up and, you know, the Jerry Thorntons of the world, and they'll sit there and say, he's fine. Of course he's going to be fine for the first 3, 4, 5 weeks. He's trying to put on a good face, a good show. He wants people to see this. Question is, as he starts to develop success with this franchise, then he starts to feel a little cocky. He thinks he can
matter.
Go back.
No, that's what I would worry about. You got him for 6 months. And I'll say this. He's getting Wait 1 second. He's getting everything he wants. He's getting the money. He's getting the attention like no others. There's not another team in the National Football League has more media on a regular basis. You go to other teams. Right. They don't have the locker room is filled. Lots of attention, lots of money, lots of exposure, big games that have a lot of meaning, crazy circumstances.
It's always
and guess what? He's also going to get lots of catches.
Okay.
But again, but 1 year.
Hold on. Not as many as in Pittsburgh.
Sorry, you go from 105 to 85.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Thank you. That's a big difference for him. That's a big difference. God. Here's Dan in Salem. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Big O. I got to agree with Christian on this one. But yeah, you're right. He won't last 4 weeks. And Big O, to your point that you think everyone conforms, look at Albert Haynesworth, another guy that was brought in.
Hold on, Dan. I'm confused. You said you agree with Christian, and then you said that Antonio Brown won't last 4 weeks?
No.
Are you listening to this show? Are you listening to Felger? What are you talking about?
I said he will
he
last.
He said he's going to last. I said I don't buy it.
Okay.
He's going to hang up.
I thought you guys hung up on me. I believe it was a Christian that was saying he didn't think he would last 4 weeks.
I'm on board
for
him
being a point.
I'm going to say it really slow.
Show of hands.
I'm going to say it really, really slow. He's going to be a huge success.
Why are you ridiculing the guy? Don't take that to
He's going to behave.
I don't think he left.
Okay, thank you.
Dan, for this awful analogy with listening. Albert Haynesworth.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Who joined the Patriots.
You notice
that was pretty good. I didn't jump on the Haynesworth.
I mean, it was Haynesworth. That was his last year in the NFL. Guy was done.
Yeah.
He wasn't a good player. Now, if you got
And he got all his money already.
If you got Albert Haynesworth when he was, 25, 26 in the years he had, last few years in Tennessee, then we're talking about a different animal.
Yeah.
That's where Antonio Brown is
no,
right
no,
now.
No, I'm not bringing that up. Alex is in Concord. Hi, Alex.
How you guys doing?
Great.
So, we're talking about Antonio Brown getting his all the time. So just a quick question with all those guys on the field, I think he'll be the most open receiver every time. And we know Brady always wants to throw it to the open receiver. So, I think he's going to get his just based on that fact alone.
Yep. You're saying that Antonio Brown will be the open receiver every single time?
Yeah.
Okay, so
more than the other players.
Okay, so let me give you the other side of that. You're the other team that's playing the New England Patriots. Mm-hmm. Who are you going to double?
He gets doubled every weekend.
Thank you.
No, he doesn't. No, right. He has in his whole career.
Right.
That's why Juju did Juju things.
Right.
But he always has.
Now when Gordon starts burning you, then what do you do? Or when Edelman starts burning you, then you switch
I'm just saying, whole double team stuff, I get it. Like, we see the Patriots do this to teams. Okay, but other teams aren't as disciplined. I don't know either why, but still, they take number one wide receivers out. But there's a reason why DeAndre Hopkins and Julio Jones and Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham Jr., these guys, Devontae Adams this year, whatever. That's why they're great. They all get all the attention.
Yeah.
And you know what? It still doesn't matter. Yeah. They still get theirs.
No, it's in the DNA with that position. They're all divas. They all get the attention, and they all seem to – I don't know where it all started. Where did it start? You may know. But every one of them seemed to want the limelight. Here's your buddy Paulie in Dedham.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hold on for a second. Paulie, hold on for a second. Why am I going to get worked up about this?
It's big.
You took the bait. You did it. You took it. Go ahead.
No,
breaking news.
Stop it. Rob Gronkowski has tweeted out two eyeballs.
Two eyeballs?
Just two eyeballs. And the
The little Isaiah
emojis.
Thomas, look at you over there emoji.
And so the Twitter world is up in arms. So I'm going through Twitter last night, And apparently he went and visited Barstool Sports yesterday. And Portnoy's talking to him in the hallway. And he says, when are you coming back? And he says, week 14. And he's giving that stupid laugh. And he always, ah! And people are up in arms. Go, oh, my God. Gronk's coming back in week 14. It was a freaking joke, was it not?
Oh, yeah. That's a lie.
He's messing with people. He always is.
Two eyeballs, and I'm supposed
two
to.
Two eyeballs.
And it's handed to us. Oh, breaking news.
Well,
two
it is
eyeballs
5 o'clock, right around 5 o'clock. So.
I was losing that joy in life.
He's coming back.
Please. I'm sorry, Paulie. I interrupted.
All right, go back.
Football. Go ahead, Paulie.
Hey, that's all right, boys. No problem at all. A whole all day for you guys.
All right, well, go ahead. You're on now.
Or any other talk show we can get on.
It's funny how, you know, it's funny how you guys open that this segment with the Shannon Sharp quotes. Because during the game the other night, I texted a friend of mine from, you know, inside the stadium. I'm texting him. I wrote that to you as a female. And I said to her, call out the president. Call out the National Guard because we are killing the Steelers.
Paulie, you're lying. Yeah. You don't know women.
You don't have any friends.
Too many bad ones, Lou.
Thomas in Westfield.
Hey, Thomas.
It was so unnecessary.
Do you remember?
He calls all the time.
I love Paulie.
Do you remember when Christian almost killed him?
I do.
No, I like we were all in there. Don't just come into the studio acting like you own the place.
Came into the studio, owned the place, and then Christian ugly on him as a joke, and the poor guy jumped back about 5 steps. It was scary.
No, Paul's a good guy.
Tom's in Westfield. Hi, Tom. Tom.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, it's Paul.
Hey, it's Tom.
Hey.
Oh, Tom. Paul in Westfield. I'm sorry. It says Tom up
sorry,
there.
Buddy.
Sorry.
Not a problem. Antichrist Christian, get off my lawn, Lou and Glenn, the Grinch Ordway. I do remember I got mad and yelled a few years ago. I said Antonio Brown's off-the-field antics are minimal. Michael Vick in his pelt, pigskin, dog suit, picking up his payment check. The other one's running around. We got a history. But you know what we have? 32 more catches. And the greatest of all time, Antonio Brown, locker next to Tom Brady, and the greatest of all time is what matters. He also was, imagine, number one 6 years in a row in Pittsburgh. Imagine what he's going to do with a real team like this. And so what? Once, 104 down the street in his neighborhood, he had to go to the bathroom. Once he threw the patio furniture off the patio.
There we go.
Yeah, let's kill somebody. What's a body?
104, he had to go to the bathroom?
Not a big deal.
Come on. Pull over.
It is unbelievable. It's unbelievable, Paul, how everybody here in Patriot Nation who was against this last week, probably including you, and this week everybody's on board.
I'm with Gordon. He's misunderstood.
No, it's called perspective and alternative facts.
Yeah, sure it is. Facts. No, it's called In Bill We Trust. That's what it's called. In Bill facts. We Trust. That's what you're calling
that's
it.
That's what it is.
That's what it is. In Bill We Trust. Bill can't do any wrong.
Thank you for listening.
Listen, I think it is a great move because what have you got to lose? There's no risk on this deal. And $9 million for a guy that has that type of talent, I'm sorry, it's nothing, especially when you can distribute it over 2 years.
Even Adalius Thomas gave you 1 year.
Yes.
He gave you 1 year.
Yeah.
Everybody gives you 1 year. And Adalius Thomas, I would say, all
right.
He was
a headache, though, in that 1 year. He
was
a headache.
Listen, he wasn't.
Yeah.
He wasn't.
What about snowstorms? He couldn't show up. He couldn't drive to the – he had 3 inches of snow, and he couldn't show up at the stadium.
I was kind of joking about the whole Gruden thing, misunderstood, but I am serious about it. In that when you – if you take away the actions in Oakland, because none of us could believe what we were seeing, because what we were seeing was a movie. We were seeing an actor who had a script – and played it out to get his ass out of Oakland.
His grandma.
So I'm not so sure that's him. He is the guy out in Pittsburgh where it just ran its course, and he needed to get his ass out of there. But when he got to Oakland, he purposely went crazy. It was an act just to get his ass out of there. So now he's got what he wants.
Plus, he had his grandma.
I think he's misunderstood.
Supporting actor.
Hey,
she was good.
Misunderstood.
She was good on the phone. Yeah. She was good. She gave emotion, mm-hmm. You know? So you think it's she was reading reading from a script? Did you think she had
grandma? No, scripture. I tell you, the grandma may have been the mastermind behind all of it.
I loved it when they brought God. It's all about God. God had his way.
Yeah,
he really
God's plan.
He really believes this. God's plan is to deceive people, right? In Oakland, all right? Lie to them.
That's not God's plan. plan.
Right.
That's God's plan. You created this. Yeah. This wasn't God made. This was man made. Yeah.
If anything, it's the devil putting his hands in the middle of his thing. Trying to screw with everybody.
All right, we got last calls next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go. Good.
Last Call.
I don't thrill about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
It's all brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car, help a child today. Schedule free pickup, 877-CARS for Kids or carsforkids.com. Ah, things were going so well. Nobody was pissed off anymore at Tom Brady having the the Trump hat in the locker. They didn't go to the White House, so everybody was cool about it. And then Trump screwed it all up at a rally last night in North Carolina.
But we actually have the World Cup. It's the biggest sporting event in the world, and we got it, and that's great. We're working it also with Mexico, Canada, giving them some of the games. We're going to have a great relationship with the World Cup. It's a big deal. Really great. Bob Kraft helped me, New England Patriots people.
Uh-oh.
Greg. Tom Brady had a pretty good game the other night, right?
Carolina, right?
And how good a coach, whether you like it or not, I know you're North Carolina, but how good a coach, in all fairness, right, is Coach Belichick? How good? How good is he?
How good?
I know you want to be cool, but he's pretty good, right?
Jesus.
We have to appreciate genius. We all like genius.
I don't know about you guys. I turned these rallies
Cam
on.
Cam Newton.
Anybody, this wasn't like
sitting laughing
in Mass in New Hampshire, Maine,
North Carolina.
This is North Carolina.
Doesn't care.
Bill Belichick. Oh, Brady. Oh, so good.
I know you want to be cool, but he's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Hey, did you know? How about AB? AB, wouldn't that be crazy? Crazy.
So
apparently some people took some shots at him last night all over Twitter. You know, people that can't stand the Patriots. So we got
the
Trump connection now to Brady again. I'm going to make a prediction right now. Enes Kanter is going to be the biggest pain in the ass. You are going to get so sick of him. You talk about Antonio Brown. This guy loves the limelight. The difference is Antonio Brown is one of the all-time great wide receivers. This guy is a stiff, big center who can't defend anybody. He's a big wrestling fan. He was involved in that WWE event last night.
Ladies and gentlemen, please help me to welcome back the former center of your New York Knicks, Enes Kanter.
Supporting his good friend Dana Brooke, longtime WWE fan.
Not much of a welcome for the poor guy.
People in New York not really feeling their former hero.
Yo, I said you were a tall drink of water.
He's a taller drink.
Enes, quite the reaction. Welcome back to Madison Square Garden. How's it feel to be back?
Yeah, oh.
Oh,
what? Oh,
this
is the bad guy.
Coming out. The bad guy's coming.
I'm always down for that.
My man, Enes Kanter. Now, come on, y'all. Look. Not only is he a former New York Knicks.
Uh-oh.
Hey, he's my friend, my amigo, my compadre. Think of all the memories that this guy.
Oh,
no.
No, he did not.
Wait a minute.
No, I never expected that.
That is the covering our truth. That is Kanter just won a 24/7 championship.
Are you serious?
Wow.
So, and it's Kanter's champ?
Trust me.
No.
Trust me. That move right there will be better than anything he ever does for the Boston Celtics.
No, he lost the title.
Oh,
well, think about it. It's a 24. So you always got to defend it. I mean, how could you be out there posting somebody up? He's got to worry about someone coming from the stand for the referee.
You know, okay, so here's the dumbass Enes Kanter, what he ends up doing. He shows up at this thing at Madison Square Garden. They hate him. They saw his act. They saw his game. Okay, they can't stand him. He's wearing, you know, New York Knicks colors. No, you show up there wearing the green. Show up with the Celtics. You know they're going to boo you.
Oh, yeah,
but you
have
a reason for them to boo you because you're wearing the Celtics green.
He can't
even figure this out.
And he's from Boston. Well, we failed to mention that
Well, Ennis is now a member of the Boston Celtics, much to the chagrin of
We're green, you stiff.
His former New York crowd.
The visual, I really think, pissed is off, really
right?
awkward.
Come on, your Celtics uni.
Should have, right?
He did have a Celtics uniform on. It was the big heel turn where he took it off and it was, I'm a Celtic.
Oh, nice. Good
I tricked you. Okie doke.
And then he lost the belt. He got flipped on his back and he got pinned.
That's all we need.
It's a bummer.
It's a much better move than anything you will see when he's playing here.
I thought it was a great appearance from Ennis Cantor. I think he looked really good in the ring, and I think he's got a future in WWE forever.
Thank you, James. Appreciate it. Yeah. All right, boys, we'll reconvene 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon right here on OMF. You got the Red Sox game. Enjoy it. All right, see ya.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.